It started off as a stopgap measure during winter one of the pandemic to provide meals for low-income and unhoused people in downtown Toronto that were experiencing food insecurity. Almost a year later, the twice-weekly Out in the Cold Meal program at St. Luke's United Church at the corner of Sherbourne and Carleton has served its 20,000th meal, and there is no end in sight. However, that end in sight could actually happen if it doesn't continue to get funding. Reverend Jim Keenan at St. Luke's United Church is co-coordinator of the twice-weekly Out of the Cold Meal program, and he joins us now. Hello, Reverend.
Hello. Thanks, Jay. And I guess Tamara is there, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you for having us on the show.
I started off by giving a brief description of the program, but could you take us back to the genesis of it?
Yeah, well, in the second wave of the pandemic, I decided, seeing the food insecurity in our area, meaning the lack of food there, whether it was people coming to our food bank that used to serve 280 people, now serves 650, we decided to run a meal program. We wanted to, out of the cold, as you probably know, traditionally offered a meal, a place for people to stay for the overnight, and then a breakfast in the morning. And it was hospitality and warmth and connection. The staying overnight was not feasible, but we wanted to reach out to alleviate the suffering. That was our only agenda. And we developed a safe approach to having people come indoors to eat a meal, get warm, be able to charge their cell phones, use the washroom, and so on. And we started last year, December 13th, and we're expecting and having funded from many faith communities, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, and so on, and many private donations, to run till April and up to about 350 meals. By the middle of early April, we realized we were serving 600 meals, and we couldn't just cut it off. It wasn't just people getting a free meal, they needed the meal. And we've continued right through the summer and intend to go another year. We can. Obviously, the funding for 600 meals a week is extensive, and we're reaching out. I don't know if that's a little bit, and then you can ask some questions. It'll get lots of more information out of me.
Great start.
What would happen, Reverend Keenan? What would happen if this program stopped today? What would happen with all the people that rely on it, do you think?
Well, for one thing, it would increase anxiety and hunger. For some people, it also offers you opportunity to connect with us. Particularly those who are sleeping rough right now, since the taking down of the encampments, people are still out there. There's still not enough shelter beds or whatever, and they're sleeping on stoops. They're all over the place. One way we do connect with them is bring them a hot meal and some warmth. Mm-hmm. Some people are in that connection. We also provide a lot of harm reduction supplies and some immediate needs counseling in those situations, and that won't happen. The people mm-hmm. who come for our meal, they won't get it. It's a little bit more hungry that night. Like for instance, this one fellow who's a regular at our takeout. He comes for takeout. He's just recovering from esophageal cancer. We try and get him a meal that he can swallow. And his wife has bone cancer, and we give him a meal to take for her. So it's that kind of situation, people on the edge, people sleeping rough, people underhoused, that will not get, you can say, oh, they can go do without a hot meal. Well, I'm not so sure that's what we can do in our city. Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. I've talked about it on the show before, Reverend. My sister actually here in Regina, Saskatchewan, runs a pharmacy that services a lot of the same kind of clients that you do. And she always talks about meeting people where they are. So it's not just about giving them their medication. It's providing them with a phone, providing them with food, providing them with clothing donations, because that brings them in so that they can access the services that you need. So when people hear about the Out of the Cold twice-weekly meal program, they might might just think about, well, if it stops, they can get their meals somewhere else. But the situation you're describing is, if we get rid of these meals, there's going to be a lot of people also not accessing counseling services, not accessing harm reduction services, addiction services. It's taking away a whole host of services. So, I mean, it's a shame, really, that you've been relying on donations, because eventually, you know, people, they start donating elsewhere or whatever. What do you need to keep this program going? Because there's clearly a need beyond the meals there.
We're right at the 11th, well, they're just moving into the 12-year program. It's a massive interfaith and volunteer initiative, but it cannot end a lot of community collaboration. We have all sorts of different service providers and benevolent associations and business associations in our area helping. But without city funding, we just wouldn't be able to sustain it.
Mm-hmm. Have you been having those conversations? Sorry, Jay.
No, it's okay.
Reverend, have you had those conversations with the city?
So far, we've tried to have conversations with city, and there was nothing forthcoming. Today I got a call from a city official, and they want to meet with us. So that's
like a first step. I'm curious, though, Reverend. You know, we'll have a conversation on the show, or we'll report on a story where someone, in the eyes of the public, are not being represented legally the proper way. They think that their issue should be further funded, and it's not necessarily something you think that someone even needs money for. And a GoFundMe campaign will raise tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Have you guys thought about going that route? Is there the possibility to reach out to corporate donors, or is that against, you know, denominational policy?
No, we're doing an extensive outreach. The thing is, this is a response to an emergency situation, and we've responded, and the faith communities and private donors and people from all over the place have helped us, and they're continuing to help us. But this emergency situation is continuing. And it's a crisis based on lack of housing, some of the city policies that we could discuss if you wanted, that have created a tremendous amount of anxiety and suffering on the streets. And we feel that this is something that part of the city's budget. Remember, all these people that are giving mm-hmm. us donations also pay taxes to the City of Toronto for social services, okay? So we believe this is one use of city funding that
sure.
is crucial. Mm-hmm. And just in terms of the connection we make, if we had to close down, yes, there would be a lack of services or food, but it also creates a great deal of anxiety, because over a period of time, the only way you help people make connections to be more comfortable, find their niche in our city, is through building a relationship of trust by seeing them all the time. You can't tell them stuff. You can't tell you have to do this. But if they get to know you over a period of time, you may get an opportunity to actually put a bug in their ear. So they, hey, maybe I'll do this, or maybe I could do this. And then you can give them the information.
Reverend,
help them.
Yes. Only because we're pressed for time, what's the single best way we can help you right this second?
Get the word out. Obviously, our position that the city should be helping us. And second, I have, I could send you, or I could say, certainly, if people want to make donations, they can e-transfer to St. Luke's United Church at gmail.com. They can go to Canada Helps, the website, and put in to donate to Canadian Charities. You come to St. Luke's United Church, and you go down the menu, you find the meal program, or you can send a check.
We will certainly get the word out, Reverend. We really appreciate your time today. You can tell that you have so much passion for the people that you work with every day. Thank you for what you do.
And thank you for taking the time to report on this.
Of course.
Thanks.